Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and when they had gone through the whole island unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. It is written, now Paul and his company set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. It is written, but they, passing through from Perga, came to Antioch of Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. It is written, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
Our God is just a prayer away.
Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. When comes to the weary a blessed release, when upward we pass to his kingdom of peace, when free from the woes that on earth we must bear, we'll say good night here, but good morning up there. When fadeth the day and dark shadows draw nigh, with Christ close at hand, it is not death to die. He'll wipe every tear, roll away every care. For we'll say good night here, but good morning up there. When the home lights we see shining brightly above, where we shall be soon through his wonderful love, we'll praise him who called us his heaven to share. We will say good night here, but good morning up there.
Our God is just a prayer away.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, we tell the story of the tale of four cities. The four cities will be Antioch of Syria, Paphos of Cyprus, Perga of Pamphylia, and Antioch of Pisidia. The first is Antioch of Syria. There were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Listen to that. The Holy Spirit actually said something. I don't know about you, but when the Holy Spirit speaks, there is no argument. No need for anyone to say, Well, now I'll tell you what I think about that. The words of the Holy Spirit are in the Bible, and those words are what God thinks. That indicates that the Holy Spirit is not just an idea, he is a person. Here the Holy Spirit said they should separate Barnabas and Saul for this particular work. Actually, the Holy Spirit has a talent for separating. He will separate you from drugs, if you let him. He will separate you from the weed, if you let him. He will separate you from booze, if you let him. He will separate you from unbelief, if you let him. It seems here, if we can believe the word of God, they sent out Barnabas and Saul without permission from anybody apart from the local congregation. It seems that the church at Antioch ran its own affairs without any help or interference from anybody. They had no synod, conference, or archbishop. That was the way it was in the days of the church of the New Testament. The church at Antioch was a self-governing church. Is there any reason why every congregation should not do that today? The archbishops, synods, church councils, and conferences have taken unto themselves an authority that God never gave them. That is, if we can believe what the New Testament has to say about the original church. It seems that the Holy Spirit is the one who calls a preacher. The Holy Spirit said, I have called them. The Holy Spirit decides who is to preach. One of the specific things that the Lord Jesus asked us to pray for when he was on earth was when he said, Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. One of the 5-star generals of World War II said, What this country needs is not more scientists, but more preachers. The church needs to pray for what Jesus told us to pray for when he said, Pray that the church send out those who are called. When the church at Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas, the church had no idea where they would go. The Holy Spirit did not tell them where he would send them. The preacher, when he is sent out by the church, must decide what area of ministry and into what location he will go as he tries to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit. Neither I nor the church that sent me out many years ago had any idea that I would be involved in this radio ministry heard in many parts of the world. But they did send me out to preach anyway. The only thing that hometown church knew about my future was when the preacher announced that I, like Isaiah, had said, Here am I, send me. I did not remember saying what Isaiah said, but that's what the preacher said I said, and they sent me out anyway. If preachers are called by the Holy Spirit, they must be sure to preach what the Holy Spirit sends them to preach, and not something else. Does the Holy Spirit send out preachers to preach one thing about salvation, and then send out somebody else to preach something else? It seems, as we listen to sermons in crusades and on radio and television, there is a concentrated effort to bypass and ignore the second chapter of the book of Acts, where the story is told of the birth of the church. That is where the terms of pardon are given by Peter. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the second city in this tale of four cities is Paphos of Cyprus. It was at Paphos that Saul and Barnabas met Elymas the sorcerer. Elymas had a good name. The translation was Bar-Jesus. Today, Jesus is a popular name in Latin countries. I saw an article in the paper one time that urged people not to name their children Jesus, because too many people named Jesus were winding up in jail. This particular Bar-Jesus did not do the name of Jesus any good either. And it is a sad commentary on the church today when we are compelled to say that many who wear the name of Christian today are not doing the Lord and His church any favors either. It is said that he was a sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew. For a man with this background to be a sorcerer and a false prophet was a crime. Here was a man who knew the law. He was aware of the prophet Isaiah and his statements about sorcery and astrologers and the judgment of God against them. For a man of this heritage to be a sorcerer and a false prophet was unthinkable. How can a person who is a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, be involved in these things? We see everywhere today the astrological signs on the car windows as people proudly proclaim to all about the glorious sign under which they were born. Isaiah says it won't save you from the things that are to come. The fire shall burn them, they shall be stubble. They have no power to deliver from the power of the flame. Ladies and gentlemen, I never tire of telling people about my sign. I was born under the sign of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And on that day, I blasted off into orbit around the bright and morning star. Now, the first recorded words of Paul on this first missionary tour were words of a curse he placed on this false prophet. He said to Elymas, "Thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, how long wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And straightway there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. That mist and darkness has fallen on many today. One place in particular is on the lack of interest in the Lord's Supper. There is a mist and a darkness over the Lord's table. One man recently told me, he asked a preacher, why they did not observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And the preacher told him they didn't observe it every Sunday because the Lord's Supper would mess up the rest of the service. Like Bar-Jesus, how long will that preacher not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? A mist and a darkness had fallen on him, and he needs somebody to lead him by the hand. The next stop, ladies and gentlemen, in the tale of four cities is Perga of Pamphylia. That is where John Mark left the evangelistic party and went home to Jerusalem. If a person is going to quit the ministry, I can think of no better place to go than to go to Jerusalem. It was at Jerusalem that John Mark would be reminded of the cross. He could go out to Calvary, visit the place of a skull, and see the very place where the Lord had been crucified. He could remember how it was to follow the Lord that night with nothing but a sheet wrapped around his naked body, and somebody had snatched the sheet and he fled naked. He could visit the empty tomb. He could go to the Mount of Olives and see the place of the Ascension and be reminded again how the angel said, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven." He could visit Bethlehem and see where Jesus was born. He could see and be reminded in Jerusalem how the church began. He could see all this and remember, Jesus was a good place for him to be seen there in Jerusalem, and a good place for John Mark to go. We don't know why Mark left Paul and Barnabas, but of whatever the reason, he did not have a good one. Perhaps it was because he was homesick or feared the danger that was evident everywhere. Paul mentioned one time that he had been in perils of rivers and robbers and a lot of other things. Traveling with Barnabas and Paul was not your usual Sunday school picnic. But whatever the reason, Paul did not consider it valid. On the next trip, he would have nothing to do with a quitter and refused to take him. However, before Paul died, he would refer to John Mark and say, he was profitable for ministering. John Mark came back. This is encouraging for all of us who sometimes get depressed and quit or perhaps think about it. Go to Jerusalem again and see the place. Look at the cross on the hill of Calvary where the blood of Jesus was shed for you. Go again to the Lord's table and be reminded of the blood that was poured out for the remission of your sins. See again the empty tomb as you worship on the first day of the week and hear the voice of angels say, he is not here, for he is risen. Go to Jerusalem and come back to the ministry of the Lord. Now the last city in this tale of four cities is another Antioch, the one in Antioch of Pisidia. Paul went to the synagogue. They asked him to speak, and he did. And what a speech it was. He told them about the glorious history of the past. He told them about Moses, Samuel, Saul, David, John the Baptist, and then the rulers who with Pilate crucified the Lord. But no matter where he started, he always wound up talking about Jesus. The same should be the aim of our preaching today. No matter where you start or on what theme you preach, lead them to the cross. Lead them to Jesus. He mentioned that David served his generation and then fell asleep. The same should be true for us. Serve your generation before you fall asleep. I served my generation back in the 1940s. The service continued into the 1950s, then into the 1960s, then into the 1970s, then to the 1980s, the 1990s, and now into the first decade of the 21st century. Our job is to serve our generation before we fall asleep. Eusebius, an early Christian writer, whose life straddled the last part of the 3rd century and the first part of the 4th century, observes that the word cemetery is a Christian word. It comes from the Greek word that means dormitory. Since a dormitory is where people sleep, the cemetery is a dormitory where the body of the Christian sleeps until the resurrection. Sinners are buried in the graveyard, but the Christian is laid to rest in the dormitory. It is said that the early Christians did not bid their brethren who fell asleep goodbye, but good night. That is a scriptural thought and reminds us of the gospel song that says it. When comes to the weary a blessed release, when upward we pass to the kingdom of peace, when free from the heartaches that on earth we must share, we'll say good night here, but good morning up there. And so while the body of the Christian sleeps in the dormitory, his spirit has gone to be with the Lord. Paul tells us, to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. So we as Christians sorrow not as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them that are fallen asleep in Christ will God bring with him. David served his generation and then fell asleep. But if David served his generation and fell asleep, and if we serve our generation and fall asleep, what generation does Jesus serve, considering the fact that he also fell asleep on the cross? His lifespan in the flesh was about 33 years. The difference in the Lord and us is that although Jesus served his generation and fell asleep, he also arose from the dead and has served every generation since that time. Jesus serves this generation of the 21st century as surely as he served the apostles in their generation in the first century. There were many that profited from the message Paul preached that day. They even told Paul they would like to hear him again the next Sabbath day. So he preached the same sermon all over again the next week to a crowd that included almost everybody in town. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many truths in the Word of God that need to be preached over and over again. We need to use the hammer of the Word of God to pound the truth into our sensibilities. In this day and time, when you hear on most television programs that to be saved, all that is required is a simple assent that you believe in Jesus, and then they say that's all that you need to do, just believe. It all sounds so easy, and that is what most people want. Give us an easy religion. We have instant potatoes, we have instant coffee, we have instant tea, we have instant oatmeal, and now at last we have instant religion. All you need to do is believe and stir. It all seems so easy. I was preaching a revival one time, and after the sermon on Friday night, the preacher told me I ought to preach that sermon again on Sunday morning. I thought about Barnabas and Saul preaching the same sermon again. I didn't take him seriously. Someone else said the same thing. The next night he asked me if I was going to do it. I still didn't think he meant it. On Sunday morning, I overheard one of the elders ask the preacher, "Is he going to do it?" They told me that many would be there who needed to hear it, and those who heard it Friday needed to hear it again. So at their request, I preached the same sermon on Sunday that I had used on Friday night. Be like Paul and Barnabas and preach it again. There are some things that need to be preached over and over again in this denominational world where the pressure is on to conform. They need to hear it over again. They need to hear about the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day over and over again. They need to hear about the New Testament church over and over again. Constant repetition is the watchword. However, something happened at Antioch of Pisidia when Paul repeated the same sermon the next week that will happen to us today when we repeat the same truths over and over again. When he preached the same truth the second time, many were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things spoken by Paul and blasphemed. Many a person today hears the gospel of Christ on this broadcast and continues to contradict the words of Peter and Paul. So we preach it again. Have you noticed how most good folk can attend services for 20 or 30 years, and most of them don't know any more than they did when they started? They can recite batting averages, scores of ball games that took place 10 years ago, and yet they could not tell you if their life depended on it. 5 verses about the Lord's Supper or the plan of salvation. A famous football coach one time wanted to impress upon his players what the game was all about. He got them into the dressing room, and he held up a football in front of them and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now that was a good point. How can you play football if you don't know what the football is? It might be a good idea for the preacher in many churches to hold up a Bible before a congregation and inform them, "Brethren, this is a Bible." Now that is basic. If people do not understand that God has given us his word, and that word is the Bible, and we need to read it just as much as we need to breathe, we are in real trouble. I heard of a preacher one time who said, if he knew the Lord would come back that very day, he would put his Bible on the ground and stand on top of it. Because the Lord said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." I like that. There used to be a gospel chorus that we used to sing that went something like this. Oh, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I'll stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Then there is a concluding statement about then and now in the statement Paul made when he said to the people of Antioch of Pisidia. He referred to the rejection of Jesus as a Son of God and said, "They knew not, nor the voices of the prophets who are read every Sabbath." Today it's still true. Many today know Jesus not, nor the voices of the apostles, though they are read every Sabbath day, every Lord's day. So tell them over and over about the church that Jesus died for. Describe it in detail. Tell about its name. Tell about its officers. Tell about its mission to carry the gospel everywhere. Tell it again and again. And if we do, it will be true of our congregations, even as it was true in the days of the apostles in Acts 13, in the tale of four cities. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.